Well, on one of the nights at camp, what I did was my friend Monty, who's my age, he has a son named Ben, who is also works at the camp. And Ben is a new dad, and he has a new son, Cooper, who is about 2 months old right now. And so one of the nights I interviewed Ben as he was holding his newborn child up in front of the campers this week. And I asked Ben a couple of questions. I asked Ben, first of all, I asked him, Ben, over the years, starting now as this newborn baby and up through his growing up, describe to me the kind of relationship you hope to have with your son. And Ben went on to describe, you know, he hoped to have a relationship that was close. He hoped to have a relationship in which he would be able to teach the truth to his son, that he would have a relationship where his son would feel free to come to him with questions in life. And he basically went on to describe what I think we would all hopefully describe, and that is a close-knit union, a close-knit relationship with our children as they grow up through the years. And, you know, that's right on. That's what I desire. That's what I think is normal. I also asked Ben a second question as he held his little newborn in his hands. I asked Ben, what are your hopes and dreams for and goals for what you hope to raise Cooper to become? What, you know, I mean, the goal, I kind of facetiously said, you know, I suppose having this baby, that was kind of, you know, the end of it, right? Having the baby was the whole goal, and now that he's born, your job's done, right? And of course, that's wrong. His job now is to raise up this son, he and his wife. And I asked him, you know, what are you hoping he'll become? And again, Ben just kind of talked about, he hoped that he would grow up to have a heart for Jesus, and that he would grow up to love the Lord, that he would grow up to be a young man of integrity, a one who would want to share his faith, one whose faith was vital and alive and real. And it reminded me, and the reason I kind of interviewed Ben was the first night of camp, I kind of just shared the gospel. I reshared the good news. I usually do that at the beginning of a time with a group of people I'm talking to, reminding us that we were born a first time. You remember the conversation that Jesus had in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee who came to him in the middle of the night. He was kind of scared about being, you know, the other Pharisees finding out he was, but that he was interested in what Jesus had to say. And he basically said, what do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to be right with God, to get right with God, to know that I'm in a relationship and a right standing with God? And Jesus gave him a really strange word picture. He said, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus was a little confused. He goes, well, so I got to crawl back into my mother's stomach and come out again? That's kind of weird. And he said, no. You were born the first time physically, but to be with God, to have a right relationship with God, to be a child of God, you have to be born a second time, this time spiritually. You have to be born spiritually. And you do that, as the book of John makes very, very clear, you do that through transferring your faith off of yourself, off of any other thing that you would ever put your faith in, whether it be church or family or good works. We talked a lot about that this week. You're not saved by good works, but you are saved by putting your faith into Jesus Christ, into the Son of God who came and died a substitutionary death on the cross. He died to pay the penalty for your sins, and he was raised to new life to show that the Father was now satisfied, that the penalty for sin had been taken care of, and that the gift of salvation is now being offered to everyone to be received, to be accepted, to be believed in by faith in Christ. And you must be born again, Jesus told Nicodemus. And that's true of us today. We must be born again. But like little Cooper, that little baby, that wasn't the end of the process. That was the beginning. That was a birth into a brand new life. And just like for Ben, the parenting process was just beginning. Well, we enter into a parent-child relationship with our Heavenly Father and Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the same sentiment, the same heart that Ben expressed towards his son Cooper, magnify that, perfect that, and that is God's heart for you and for me, every single one of us as His children. His desire is that as children of God, as we begin to grow in this new spiritual life, that we would have a life of intimate connection with Him day by day, month by month, year by year, and that His end goal for us is that through that relationship, we would grow into, blossom into, become mature children of God who live out our faith vibrantly, who share our faith, who depend upon God for the things that we go through in life. And that is the picture. And that is the plan that God has for us. And so we go to John chapter 15 for our key description. Seth shared a little summary of what we talked about this week, and I'm going to be kind of planting us there for a few weeks. So Jesus gets to the end of His life. John 15 is found in what is called the farewell discourse. So Jesus gets with His disciples just before He goes to the cross. And this is, you know, you got the upper room where they have that first communion service, and Jesus washes His feet. And in kind of those chapters, 13, 14, 15, and on in, Jesus is giving His final words. He's telling His disciples, I'm getting ready to go. And so I'm honing in on what the main purpose of your life is. I'm honing in and telling you now what the purpose for your existence as Christ followers is going to be all about. And He gives a metaphor that they would have been very familiar with, and actually many of you would be very familiar with, because it's an agricultural illustration. He basically says, I am the vine. You might think of either a trunk of a tree that grows down into the ground, or you might think of a grape. You know how grapes grow. There's a grape vine that's connected to the ground ultimately, and that vine is where the nutrients and the sap and the life-giving elements come from. And He says, and my Father, in this illustration, he's the vine dresser or the gardener. He's the one that tends to everything that's going on with the plant to make sure that it's growing, to make sure that it's, you know, getting the nutrients that it needs, getting the sunlight that it needs, getting the water that it needs, you know, pruning it when it gets overgrown, and all of the stuff that goes along. My Father's taking care of that. And so I am the vine, Father is the gardener, and eventually He gets to where He says, and you are the branches that come out of the vine. You are the branches. And the purpose of the branch, or the purpose of the, in a grape it would be the tendril, that little thing that grows out of the vine. The purpose of it is to do what? To bear fruit. It's its only purpose. And so He comes to this, and now we get to our key passage, which is verses 4 and 5 of John chapter 15. And here's what He says. And this is a command. This is something He commands believers to do. He says, remain, or the old King James, the old word that we're used, maybe some of you are used to, abide in Me. And I will abide or remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. He's just stating a fact. He in this metaphor, First, he starts out by stating an agricultural fact. When you go to the store and you see the fruit there in its little bins and stuff, it didn't just pop up there and create itself. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain or abide in the vine. Now he begins to give an application. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain or abide in me. And then verse 5 that Seth read for us, I am the vine. Now he makes it personal. He's showing you what this really is all about. I'm the vine. In other words, Jesus is saying, because of who I am, I'm the Son of God. Because of what I have done on the cross for sin, and because of the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness of sin, which also contains the gift of new life when you believe in me, I am, Jesus is saying, the source of life. I am the vine. And you are the branches. If a man abides or remains in me and I in him, that's the goal, he will bear not just a little bit of fruit, but much fruit. And then apart from me, you can do nothing. It's like Jesus is turning to them. Jesus is turning to us and saying, my child, when I tell you to abide, what I'm telling you to do, when I tell you to remain, what I'm telling you to do is to stay close to Jesus. Bottom line, stay close to Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus. Stay dependent upon Jesus. That's what Jesus is telling the people. He says, if you stay close to me, he's telling us this morning, if you stay close to me, I will empower your life. I will empower you to experience my love and my hope in your heart and in your mind. I will empower you to accomplish things for my glory. I've given you gifts. I've given you ministries I want you to serve in. I've given you people I want you to talk to and encourage. And if you will stay close to me, I will use your life to do good things for the glory of God. I'll actually help let you participate with me, Jesus says, in building up this brand new kingdom, the kingdom of God that has come and that is expanding and that one day will be all that there is, because this world will end and be done away with and we will be with God. And he says, I want to use you and bless you in that process, but you have to stay close to me. I believe that John 15 is declaring for us this morning, again, the purpose and meaning for which we were created and for which we were saved. It is to stay close to Jesus and bear fruit for his glory. And that counts for me as the pastor, but that also counts for you, whether you are, you know, working a 9-to-5 job, whether you're at home with the kids, whether you're retired, whether you're a student in school, whether you're out in the fields working, whatever your station in life, the bigger picture, the bigger purpose beyond all of that, and God blesses all of that and God wants us to do all those things, but beyond that, we are to be servants of his kingdom. And that's why we are here, and that's why Christ came to rescue us. So that word abide or remain is our key word. We got to understand what that means. It actually is a term, as Jesus is using it here, this term of connection, of staying plugged in. It's a term of intimate relationship. Again, I'm picturing that dad with his baby holding that baby. It's a relational closeness that God has called us to. And that we have to stay plugged in, connected to Christ. I think I told you about this guy once before, but I want to tell what happened to this guy I knew. He went and he somebody had given him a side of beef, and he had it all processed and cut up and packaged, and he decided he didn't have room, and so he went and he bought a brand new freezer. Went to the appliance store and he said, "I want the best. I want the top of the line. I want the best, you know, freezer you've got." And so he got the top of the line and he brought it home and he packed all of the packaged beef in there. And he went away for a few days. And when he came back, the odor just about knocked him out. You know that odor? It hadn't worked. Jack and Linda, where are you at? You just had this happen. You came home, and in your case, the electricity had gone off. And so this guy was upset, and all the beef was ruined, and it had rotted, and he had been away long enough. It had maggots, and it was just as disgusting as it could possibly be. So he called the appliance store, and he said, "Listen, we got a big problem. Your product, this great freezer that I paid all this money for, it didn't work." And the salesman at the appliance store said, "Well, let me ask you a couple questions about this." He goes, "Did you plug it in?" "Oh no." And the fellow said, "Well, wait a minute. I paid like top of the line money for this freezer, and I shouldn't have had to plug it in. I paid so much money for this freezer, it ought to have just worked." And of course, the salesman says, "Sir, you don't understand. As great as this freezer is, it is the top of the line, but you got to understand, it is a dependent appliance. It does not supply its own source of power. It has to be plugged in for it to function and work the way it was created to work." And friends, if you could have just a picture of what the spiritual life that God has called each of us to, that is the picture. We are not independent. We are deeply dependent upon God. In this vine and branch metaphor, Jesus is saying, "Listen, if you don't stay plugged into me, if you don't stay close to me, where my source of life-giving, you know, the Holy Spirit working in your life, the Word of God going deep into the application and living out of His Word, that will never happen. You cannot live the Christian life on your own strength. It's not a matter of just coming to church and learning some principles and some truths that God's Word happens to say we ought to do it this way, and then us going out in our own strength and doing it. That is not the spiritual life. It is a union with Jesus. If you do not have an ongoing daily closeness with Christ, you cannot live the Christian life the way God wants you to. You cannot grow up like Ben is hoping Cooper will do. You can't grow up in your faith and move from baby to toddler to childhood through your teens and on into a spiritual adulthood. We need Jesus desperately. So, just a couple of minutes here as we kind of get practical with this. The question is, how do we do this? How do you stay close to Jesus? And I just want to give you a hint. It's more than just sitting in church services. It's more than that. Now, hopefully, it includes that. Hopefully, that's a piece of the puzzle for you, where you sit under the teaching of God's Word, where you gather together with the saints and you fellowship and you sing praises to your God together. That should be part of it. But I just want to go back to the old Sunday school answers, and I want to try to breathe a little new life into them, because you know the answers of how do I stay close to Jesus. You know the answers. Yes, it starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. But not just prayer, I want to take it to another level because here's my conviction. For many of us here today, it is time to take our prayers to a whole new level. For many of us, you were like where I was at early in my Christian life, where my prayer life was a list that I made up of people that I was going to pray for. And I had my little list, and I basically could say my prayers in my sleep because I said the same words every time I prayed. I had my list. I had a few things there on my list I prayed for, and it always included God helping me, and it always included praying for mom and dad and sister and brother and a few friends, and I could say it in my sleep. And in other words, my prayer life was totally unengaged. My heart was unengaged. My mind practically was unengaged. I was what we would say going through the motions. And some of us, even some of us who are adults, even some of us who have been saved for many years, you're still kind of stuck in that kind of prayer. I remember back in the day at the church I grew up in, we had the practice, and again, I'm not slamming this, but it was something that caught my attention. Every Sunday, we recited the Lord's Prayer as a congregation. And I remember very vividly as a teenager looking it around at all of the people standing and reciting the Lord's Prayer in their most deep, monotone, pious voices and thinking, nobody is paying attention to what in the world they're saying. They're just saying words. This has sadly become just a ritual that we do. Well, a little later in my life, after my teen years and into my early 20s, I began to realize something. Life is hard. And I began to run into some hard choices and some sin struggles and come face to face with that. And you know, some job decisions and school decisions. And I had conflict with other people that just stressed me out. And I began to change my prayers for the very first time. I kind of graduated from the memorized prayer that I really wasn't engaged in to finally I started to pray prayers like, God, I need your help. God, I can't figure this out. God, I got a decision to make. I'm not sure what to do. God, I've got this problem in my life and I want you to fix it. Did you ever pray that prayer in some form or another? God, fix my life. God, I've got problems and I just want you to come and fix them. And I really need your help fixing my problems. I prayed a lot of prayers like that. And I still do once in a while. That was kind of like middle school prayer. I at least wasn't praying memorized prayers anymore. I was at least talking to God like He was a real Father. And praying through Christ as if He were a real Savior. But then I began to study God's Word, and I began to be around some believers that were pretty mature, pretty far down the road. And I began to learn that there was even a deeper level of prayer that I needed to go to. And that was the prayer of surrender. That was the prayer of me. See, here, I know this might be hard to see for some of you, this little picture, and I've used this one before too. I'll just bring it down here, kind of show it around. So this is prayer where this is me and God's down here beneath me. Okay? And so my old prayer life was basically where I was over God and I was telling God what I needed Him to do. Here's what I need from you, God. This, 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 and this. Make my life easier. Make my life work. Make all of these problems go away. And I was over God. No. That's not how it works. Here is how it works. God is over us. And we are on this earth not for Him to fix our problems, although, again, He cares about our problems, but ultimately we are on this earth to bring ourselves under God to serve His purposes. And so for me, the prayer began to shift from God fix all my problems to God, I am here to bring my life before You. Remember a while back I preached on Romans 12, 1 that says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, in view of His salvation, in view of the cross, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. The prayer that we need to go to is the prayer of surrender. The prayer of bringing your life before God and saying, God, my life is Yours. What would You have me do? God, my life is Yours. What in me, in my character, we'll talk about this a little bit in a couple of weeks, what in me do You want to change? Do You want to move from being immature or ungodly to being more like Christ? What in my character do You want to work on? It's the prayer of surrender. My life, God, is Yours. Remember what Paul said? My life is no longer my own. I am not my own. I was bought with a price. It is no longer I who even live, Paul says. It is Christ who lives in me. And the prayer of surrender is the prayer where you actually can come before God with no agenda other than to say, God, I want to live for Your purposes. I want to live for Your glory. I want to do it where I work. I want to do it in my home. I want to do it in my primary relationships, spouse, children, parents, grandkids, great-grandkids. I want to do it in my friendships. I want to live for You. I want to represent You. It's a prayer of surrender. I find myself praying for two things more and more as I pray that prayer of surrender. Two things, God, I need from You. God, I need Your wisdom, because I'm not sure what that looks like. God, I pray this all the time. God, I need Your wisdom, because you know what? All the time, I'm making decisions. I'm deciding, you know, how to handle a situation with my kids. Somebody asked me recently how they could pray for me. I said, you know, I don't have a little baby Cooper anymore. I got a 24-year-old son who is thinking about engagement, who is finishing up his degree. I've got a 20-year-old daughter who's in college, and she's trying to make sure she's figuring out the spiritual thing, and she's on, you know how it is. She's at Purdue, she's on a big campus, and she's trying to navigate the spiritual life right in the middle of a very, non-Christian secular situation. God, I need wisdom. Our family's made a transition about a year ago, moving here to Monticello. That's been a drastic change not really for me, because I had been here for 3 years before as your interim pastor. But for Allie, for Lisa, that was a big change. God, I need Your wisdom as the dad and the husband, how to best encourage. I need Your wisdom to know how to represent You. So wisdom. Second thing I need from You, God, is Your power. God, I can't do the things that You've called me to do the way that You want me to do it, with the attitude that You want me to do it with the spirit You want me to do it with on my own. I need Your strength. And I've got good news. That's exactly what He's prepared to give, His wisdom and His strength, for those who are in alignment with His purposes and who are abiding in Him and staying close to Him through prayer and surrender. And so it becomes, God, I want to honor You with my life. I want to live for You in all that I do. Just As I'm describing that, I just want you to answer that question in your own heart. Is that the way that I pray? Or am I still stuck in the I'm over God, telling him what I want him to do for me mode? It's time for some of us to take it to the next level, to grow to that next level of intimacy with God. When I was a little boy, I had a dog named Heidi. And Heidi was a mutt. And Heidi was kind of the neighborhood dog, but then he kind of settled at our house and he became our dog. And I was about maybe 10, 11 years old. And I gave my feeble effort at trying to train Heidi. And it did not go well. And so Heidi never listened. Heidi never listened. She came around when she was hungry. I mean, Heidi was kind of a overweight dog because everybody fed her. And I remember one day I was in the yard and Heidi's running around. And I was playing ball or something. And I saw a truck coming down the street. And I yell, "Heidi, stay, Heidi, stay." And she's not even listening at all. Just running around. "Stay, Heidi." And of course, as you can imagine, right at that last minute, she darted right out in front of that truck because she would not stay close to me. Now, before anybody panics, she was not killed, but she was messed up pretty good. She was toppled and bruised and scarred because she wandered away from me. And what Jesus is saying is the same thing. You have to stay close to me. I am your protector. I'm your provider. I'm your Savior. I'm your Lord. And life is about staying close to me in the midst of everything else you're doing that you have to do in this world. Stay close to me. Because when you wander off on your own, when you don't stay, but you go and you go away and you go out on your own, you're going to get beat up. You're going to get scarred. You're going to get bruised. You're going to get scratched up. And you might even get killed. I mean, you know, it's dangerous out there apart from Christ. So that's the message of this morning, is just to abide with Jesus. And you know this morning where you are at in that relationship. I'm not talking this morning about are you saved or not. I'm talking about are you abiding as a child of God, walking closely day by day with your Savior. Are you praying prayers of surrender and with an intention in your heart of obeying God's commands, of doing His bidding? Where are you at this morning? For some of us, you may find yourself right where you need to be. "Hey, Pastor Mike, man, I'm there. I'm abiding in Christ. I'm building time in my life where I spend time in the presence of Jesus on a regular basis. My prayers are real. I've moved from kindergarten praying to adult praying, prayers of surrender. I'm there. And I'm just going to keep going." Praise the Lord if you're there. If you're not there, then it's time to make a decision. It's time to begin making a series of decisions. Of I'm going to begin to build time in my life to be close to the Lord, to surrender my life to the Lord, to spend time in His presence, not just on Sunday morning at church, but daily. I would suggest each morning you build a little bit of time to just give the day to the Lord, to say, "God, I'm yours today." And you know what you're going to find out? God is going to start bringing situations into your path. He's going to start bringing people across your path that you can bless with the strength and power that He gives you. And you're going to feel a closeness to God and to Christ that you've never felt before, because He is the vine and we are the branch and we need him desperately. And he's going to produce fruit in your life. We're going to talk in weeks to come about what that fruit actually is. But for today, I just want you to evaluate your abiding. Are you staying close to Jesus every day? Let's pray together. Precious Father, precious Lord Jesus, this little word picture of the vine and the branch, it's so simple and yet it's so profound that you have designed us to be utterly dependent upon you, just like the freezer is to the electricity coming out, you know, from outside of itself. We desperately need you. We need your presence. We need your love to flow through us. We need your power and your wisdom. And you have provided that for us. This passage, it's two things. It's both a command that Jesus said, abide. He's actually commanding us to do that. He's not suggesting it. He's saying, you must abide in me. But it's also an invitation to draw near to Jesus. And so my prayer this morning, Father, for the people that are gathered here in this room, the family of God here that are gathered together, we're in different places on this, Lord. I know some of the folks here are right where they need to be this morning. And they find themselves close to Jesus, depending upon Jesus daily with every situation and every circumstance. And they've learned to bring their lives in surrender before you. And Lord, there's others of us here this morning that we're kind of still stuck in the God is there to serve me mode. And we've got it all upside down and backwards, Lord. And my prayer is that for those that are stuck in that mode, that they would be able maybe even to repent of that and say, God, I had that wrong. I was trying to use you like a genie in a bottle. Lord, that's not how it works. And I see that now. And Lord, may those folks, if we are far from you, if we're not surrendered to you, Lord, maybe this morning we begin to take those steps of coming before you and bringing our lives in surrender before you and abiding in you, staying close to you, enjoying your presence. And maybe there's some here, Lord, that have even given up on praying altogether. Just didn't seem to work. God didn't seem to ever answer. And so we don't even really pray much. And I pray for that person that again, they would take steps towards you beginning today. Lord, we need your wisdom and we need your power by staying close to you, Lord. We love you and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.